from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Penny Nelson in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, the topic is Afghanistan. In the first half of the hour, a discussion about the U.S. military's presence going forward. President Obama has called for full troop withdrawal from Afghanistan by year's end if the country's leaders don't sign a proposed bilateral security pact. We'll consider the possibilities for diplomacy and the repercussions of pulling the troops out. Then in the second half of the show, we talk with BBC journalist Dawood Azami. He visited Guantanamo Bay Prison and has reported on former inmates as they return to normal life in Afghanistan. He has a new documentary out on BBC and joins us to talk about living conditions at Guantanamo and the return home for some. That's all ahead on Forum after this. Good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Penny Nelson, sitting in for Michael Krasny. President Obama has formally ordered the Pentagon to prepare for a full withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan by the end of the year if Afghan President Hamid Karzai or his successor does not sign America's proposed bilateral security agreement. Many experts are concerned that pulling all the troops out will push the politically fragile nation into civil war and lead to further destabilization in the region. Others feel it's time for Americans to step out and Afghanistan's leadership to step up. So much blood has been spilled and resources invested in the fate of Afghanistan. This hour on Forum will consider what possibilities for diplomacy remain and what the ramifications of a full troop withdrawal might be for the country and its citizens. With us for the discussion is Daniel Markey. He's a senior fellow for India, Pakistan, and South Asia at the Council on Foreign Relations, also the author of No Exit from Pakistan, America's Tortured Relationship with Islamabad. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
Also with us, Rona Popol. She's executive director of the Afghan Coalition, which is a nonprofit based in Fremont here in the Bay Area. Ms. Popol serves as president of the Afghan Women's Association of Northern California as well. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Phyllis Bennis joins us as well. She's a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, and her books include Challenging Empire, How People, Governments, and the UN Defy U.S. Power, and also Before and After, U.S. Foreign Policy and the War on Terrorism. Welcome to you, Phyllis Bennis.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
And I want to put the phone number out there early on. This is a half-hour segment, and if you'd like to join in the conversation, weigh in with your perspective, give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. Well, Daniel Markey, I want to start with you, and let's just get a little bit of context here. How many troops are still in Afghanistan, and what role are they playing?
Well, in terms of U.S. troops, we have about 33,000 forces there, I believe, right now. They are primarily engaged in, I guess, three different activities. The first would be getting ready for a further drawdown, that is removing platforms, vehicles, and other material that have been built up over the past decade of war. In addition to that, they're involved in a training mission of the Afghan National Security Forces. And then finally, some segment of them are still engaged in active operations that would be considered primarily counter-terror in orientation, that is, going against groups and individuals that are considered to be threats beyond Afghanistan's borders.
But by and large, they're considered non-combat troops at this point.
Yes, at this point, we have moved to a stage where the Afghan National Security Forces are taking the lead or are said to be taking the lead in providing security across the country, and the United States is taking a back seat to them.
Now, we know President Obama spoke with President Karzai earlier this week, but was this threat or, shall we say, call for a full troop withdrawal if the pact was not signed, is this something that people in the military, people have known about for a while? Is it new news that this declaration's been made?
Well, the news was simply that it appears that the president is trying to make it even more painfully clear, if it wasn't already clear, that the White House would go down or exercise a zero option, removing all U.S. forces from Afghanistan, unless President Karzai signs a bilateral security agreement. That is something that all sides, or that the U.S. side has been pushing for months and months now. So in a way, it's news only that the point has been reiterated at the very highest level. Apparently, President Obama hadn't actually talked to President Karzai since June, so this was a personal and direct statement, and it also comes prior to a NATO meeting and sends a message to other coalition partners in Afghanistan that the White House is serious and serious about planning for the possibility of a full withdrawal from Afghanistan, and that NATO partners ought to plan that way as well unless we get a bilateral security agreement.
Phyllis Bennis, I want to go to you. Now, there's been really broad spectrum concern about this idea of a full troop withdrawal. Where do you come out on it, and what do you think about the safety in the region and the safety for Afghanis on the ground if this was to happen?
Well, first of all, I think we should be clear that the American people are pretty clear about this. In the most recent poll, which was at the end of December, 66%, two-thirds of Americans said that the Afghanistan war was not worth fighting. And I think that that tragic reality is affecting more and more people. The agreement that President Obama is trying to get signed, this is the exact same issue that led to the full withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. It has nothing to do with protecting Afghans. It has everything to do with making sure that U.S. troops that remain, whether it's 3,000 or 10,000 or 15,000, that they have absolute immunity from being prosecuted or held accountable in Afghan courts. That's the issue that's at stake here. Without that immunity, President Obama will not keep troops, and NATO will not keep troops in Afghanistan. President Obama has been very clear that any troops that remain will not be there to make Afghans safer. They haven't done that, we should be clear, for the last 13 years, but they will not be there in the future to do it either. They will be there to help the Afghan army in training, to do what exactly is not so clear, and they will be there for U.S.-based counterterrorism operations that are based on that definition of keeping Americans safe. I think many people don't believe that that's what keeps us safe. But we should be clear that the goal that has been set by the Obama administration is not about protecting Afghans. That's the tragedy of this. Afghans have not been safer through this war. We're just reading new statistics about the role of warlords, the front page of today's New York Times about the role of warlords with dark pasts that are running for office in Afghanistan. Higher percentages of civilians being killed last year by Afghan forces. These are the forces that we are supporting. As terrible as the Taliban has been, the forces that we are supporting have not been much better.
What is going on with the relationship between President Karzai and President Obama, or the West in general? I know so far President Karzai has refused to sign the BSA, the agreement, and that the relationships have turned very frosty, that he's been aligning himself more and more with the Taliban. Mm-hmm. What has been going on politically between Karzai and the West?
Well, I think there's a couple of aspects. One has to do with the internal political situation inside Afghanistan. President Karzai can't run again for president, but he wants to have a major influence on who his successor will be. And one of the ways to do that is by a kind of rhetorical position of being more opposed to U.S. involvement militarily in Afghanistan than he has been in the past. It's ironic that this is a president whose government is kept in power, essentially, by the United States. We pay for it. We arm it, protect it, et cetera. But like the situation, again, in Iraq, there is very little accountability. President Karzai's administration has been linked to a whole host of issues of corruption, of nepotism, of a whole range of crimes. And yet the U.S. has stuck with him as he is the elected president, despite the fact that we made it happen that way. And we are continuing it. So that internal situation, how President Karzai wants to position himself, is one part of it. The other part is that President Obama is faced with this situation where he's trying to make a decision where he knows that 66% of the American people that he has to answer to do not think this is a war worth fighting. More than half want the U.S. to pull out. Another 40% or so want the U.S. to keep a small remnant there. Nobody wants the war to go forward. But the military is telling him, if we don't keep troops there, we will lose the gains we've made. I think for many Afghans, certainly not all, but many Afghans would say, where are those gains? We don't see those gains to begin with.
Let's go to
pulling out is what we need to do.
Let's go to Rona Popal, and I'd like you to address what you've heard from folks in Afghanistan, especially from women. I mean, this is a very big the Taliban, and you know where Afghanistan was and is still for women, dicey terrain. So, can you share some of what the Afghan community here in the Bay Area and from what you hear back home are thinking about a potential pullout?
Yes, but of course, this argument of pulling out of U.S. Army from Afghanistan naturally has a lot of supporters, especially among the women in Afghanistan. But on one hand, they want the presence of the U.S. troop in Afghanistan, and some want the sovereignty of Afghanistan should be respected. This is very important. This is what the people of Afghanistan want to see. A U.S. troop as a friend, but not as an occupier. This is what the people want to see the U.S. to play a part in the future in Afghanistan.
But how can that happen if there's no protections, if there's no, if this very pact is saying we're in a non-combat role and we want to be of assistance, but in order for our troops to be there and helping out in a non-combat format, we do need some assurance that they will be protected.
Well, of course, the Afghan government supposed to, of course, do protect the U.S. Army in Afghanistan, but they are not on that level now. The Afghan government is very weak. They cannot protect themselves. So they can protect the U.S. Army. These are the issues the people really worried about in Afghanistan, especially Afghan women, because for the past more than 10 years that the U.S. Army were in Afghanistan and also the NATO, it's really protecting somewhat with Afghan women. But still we see there are a lot of problems, a lot of insecurity, a lot of crimes against the woman. And
Rona, I want you to expand on that. I want you to what are some of the actual tangible ramifications of a full pullout? If you think about life in Kabul or life in the villages, what do you think will happen?
It's going to be a chaos. We're going to go back to the square one, the 2011. We're going to go back to the 2001 era, which is the Taliban and the warlord come back. And this is all Afghan people know it. We receive some of these people are coming on a special visa. These are the young people who work with the U.S. Army as interpreter. And they are saying that we have to leave Afghanistan. If once U.S. troop left, we're going to be the first target for Taliban and also for the other warlords. So these are issues the people know very well. But the problem is in Afghanistan, the people, especially the women, they cannot bring out their voice. They cannot talk about this issue because of the insecurity that they have. There is no freedom of speech in Afghanistan. They cannot talk about, there's a lot of issues, a lot of these criminals running for presidency. These are issues people know it very well.
Well, let me ask you about the candidates that are running for running for president in April. Of those folks that might take over, should Karzai not succeed in holding his office, are there candidates who the women and the folks on the ground could benefit more by having an office than others? What's the take?
I really don't know, and I don't trust them because they were the criminals that they fought in Afghanistan, you know, with Russian, and then they had a civil war. They killed each other. They killed hundreds of thousands of Afghans, Afghans in Afghanistan, and now they are running again and being in power. This is what the Afghan people are very confused. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what kind of politics are playing.
Or who to trust.
They say, we want to bring Afghanistan, we want to help Afghanistan, the international community I'm talking about. They wanted to help Afghan people, they wanted to bring security, they wanted to bring justice. But the other hand, they are bringing these criminals to be on the power. So Afghan people say, what's the difference?
Right.
We don't see any difference.
All right. That's Rona Popol, and she's executive director of the Afghan Coalition, which is a nonprofit based in Fremont, and she serves as president of the Afghan Women's Association in Northern California as well. Also with us as we talk about a potential full pullout of troops from Afghanistan by year's end, should they the leadership in Afghanistan not sign a bilateral security agreement. With us for this conversation is Phyllis Bennis, a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, and also Daniel Markey, a senior fellow for India, Pakistan, and South Asia at the Council of Foreign Relations. Daniel Markey, I want to go back to you. Rona Popol just expressed concerns on the ground, Afghani concerns about what would happen with a full troop pullout. What regionally might happen? You know, this is the repercussions could spill out beyond just what's going on in Afghanistan should the U.S. pull out. What are your concerns about a full pullout? And also the ramifications for NATO troops, for Pakistani relationships. What's the bigger picture?
Yeah, the bigger picture is that there's a great deal of concern in the region, and I can say this from time spent talking to people in Islamabad, in particular in Pakistan, but also in India, in Iran, even in Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, and beyond. There's a concern that a precipitous U.S. departure, one that would effectively be this zero option, if we leave quickly, then we could very easily get ourselves back into a broader potential civil war with each of these various regional players playing a role in a proxy conflict that would send refugees back into countries, into Pakistan, back into Iran, and so on, and expand this insecurity beyond Afghanistan in ways that we haven't seen over the past decade into other parts of the region. India in particular is concerned that an Afghanistan that reverts back to the way that it was in the 1990s will pose a terrorist threat to India. We, the United States, I think, have an interest in trying to preclude that outcome. And Pakistan is very worried that the problems that it faces in terms of Taliban inside of Pakistan will be further exacerbated if Afghanistan takes a turn for the worse. All of these things, I think, are reasonable possibilities made more likely by a rapid U.S. departure. That doesn't mean that we need to maintain the level of forces that we have there now, but the more we send a message that we'll leave come hell or high water, the more likely these things are to happen. If I could make one other point, it would simply be that, you know, we have seen a significant change in Afghanistan over the past decade, but this is a fractured, very poor, very violent society that would take a very long time under any circumstances to be healed of decades of war. But if we look at one statistic in particular, that is life expectancy, we've seen a miraculous shift of a 20-year change in the life expectancy of Afghans over the past decade. That alone suggests that the situation under the current government of Afghanistan, as bad, as ineffective, as corrupt as it has been, is significantly better than what we were seeing under the Taliban or in the civil war conditions that prevailed earlier. So to say that we haven't seen any change for the better, I think, is quite simply wrong.
And would you advocate, I've seen that there's sort of this idea that a minimum number of troops would be about 10,000. So what would you be advocating if there's not a full troop withdrawal and yet we don't have any cooperation from the current administration and if there's no cooperation from successive administrations? What do you advise?
Well, look, every Afghan candidate for the presidency has said that he would support a bilateral security agreement with the United States. The only Afghan leader who has refused is President Karzai. And this relates to his own calculations about what serves his purposes in dealing with the U.S. government, a relationship that's gone from sort of minimally acceptable to basically broken. And so I think it's a false choice to suggest that we need to listen to President Karzai. We have a very different option. We can wait him out. The elections are scheduled for early April. The U.S. government can make a plan to wait until afterwards and renegotiate with whoever comes next.
All right.
Then the outcome could be anywhere from 3,000 to 10,000, depending on exactly what forces we think are best able to, at lowest cost to the United States, both in blood and treasure, to begin or to continue this effort at training up the Afghan national security forces and to provide us a vehicle or a platform from which we can do some continued counterterrorism activity, particularly into Pakistan.
Okay.
which is necessary.
All right. And I want to squeeze in some of our web comments. They're echoing a lot of what Phyllis Bennis was saying. So if these are any indication of the public sentiment here in the States, Beth writes, I'm still wondering why we had to announce when we were leaving. We should just give weeks notice and pack up and leave. Billions of dollars have been wasted in Afghanistan, with a lot of it in some Swiss account under the name of Afghan President Hamid Karzai, who doesn't even like us. Remember, Afghanistan has been at war with various factions within its borders for centuries, and nothing will change that. Dora from Mountain View is writing, get out. Karzai doesn't want to cooperate. Then we need to get out. Obama's threats are embarrassing and pitiful. And another listener tweets, it's about time. Thought this was a first term campaign promise. So those are some sentiments from folks here in the Bay Area. And I want to quickly go to a caller who's with us. I think we've got from Ali. Ali from Berkeley. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you, Penny, for doing such a good job when Michael is not around.
Thanks.
You know, we all agree that the U.S. should not pack and leave because of the security interests we have. I think what the U.S. needs to change, and this is a question to a panelist, is the attitude of providing absolute immunity to our personnel under the SOFA, the Status of Forces Agreement, which is part of the security agreement. And I think Karzai, as bad as puppet as he is listening to the grassroots sentiment in Afghanistan, which is very huge. You know, I remember in the 1970s in Iran, that was a big issue with the Shah. And as a university student, we all were outraged that Shah would allow absolute immunity for American military personnel. And so this is important. Until the U.S. changes that, we cannot have long-term security agreement in any country that we have occupied.
All right.
I'm interested in your panelists' comments on that. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks so much, Ali. And Phyllis Bennis, I want to take that to you. We only have a couple of minutes,
so weigh in. I think Ali raises a very important point, but I think, and it's clear, the U.S. will not compromise. That was the basis for pulling out of Iraq. It will be, if there's a basis for pulling out of Afghanistan, it will be the lack of immunity granted by the Afghan government. But I just want to say one other thing, and that is that we should be clear. Yes, there have been some incremental changes, but Afghanistan remains the very last, the bottom of the list of countries throughout the entire world on questions, for example, of infant mortality, infant survival to age 5, and women's mortality, maternal mortality in childbirth. It's the very last. After 13 years of occupation, we haven't been able to change that.
All right,
so that's one of the huge challenges that military is not going to solve.
And Rona Popol, I want you to jump in. Are you hopeful for the future of your country?
Well, I'm not right now, especially with the criminals, to see they're running for presidents, not. But one thing I would like to tell for the U.S. public, that they shouldn't forget about the Afghan people, the ones they fought together with Americans against the Soviet Union. And the second time they fought with Americans against the terrorism. So this is not fair to just let the Afghan people alone.
All right. I have to stop you there, Rona. Just we're out of time. And I really appreciate your thoughts and your closing sentiments and for being with us this hour. That's Rona Popol, Executive Director of the Afghan Coalition. Also with us this segment was Daniel Markey, Senior Fellow for India, Pakistan, and Asia, South Asia at the Council on Foreign Relations, and Phyllis Bennis with the Institute for Policy Studies. We're going to take a short break and come back with Afghan and BBC journalist Dawood Azami. His new documentary follows inmates that were held and released from Guantanamo Bay prison and then returned to civilian life back in Afghanistan. So we'll hear a bit about what he saw in Guantanamo and then what he saw from folks who were released and tried to resume regular civilian life back home. Stay with us for that. That's all coming up in the next half hour of Forum. I'm Penny Nelson in for Michael Krasny. Stay with us.